At the outset of a new year, it's great for people to think about what kind of devotional life they want to lead in this new year. We're going to talk about this right now, specifically from the angle of what can fathers do to lead their families in a bold way for Christ in the new year and beyond, of course. Our guest is Dr. Robert Otto, who is a family counselor with Spanish River Counseling Center in Boca Raton, Florida. He's written a book called Rise Up. It's for dads who want to lead boldly. And the website, by the way, for the book is riseupdad.com. Dr. Otto, good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Sure. Okay, so tell us about the reason you decided to write this book.
Sure. I think that most men want to do well, but I think that very few of us have seen good examples of what spiritual leadership looks like in our homes from our own fathers. And so as we become dads, we don't have a model to follow. And so we kind of flounder, or we sit and think about it and we don't do too much. And that means that as the spiritual leaders in our home, we might be driving to church on Sunday morning, maybe praying before meals and thinking that's about it. And I had a friend who sat down with his three kids and my three kids. They were all under the age of five, and said, "Hey, family devotions, let's go grab a seat." And I was fascinated by that. And my wife prayed for me for 6 months and then challenged me to start reading with our family. And that started me on a journey that was, it changed the next 10 years of my life. And I'll tell you, Jerry, I never knew what God would do when I started reading my word, reading his word out loud with my kids and my wife.
Is there, a problem in the country where a lot of professing Christians basically are neglecting God's word and certainly neglecting family devotions to the detriment of all of us?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that in most cases, and it's in I've seen in my counseling practice as well as just in churches in America that I've been around, most cases there's not a whole lot going on in the homes. We expect youth pastors and children's ministry workers and pastors up front to do the training of our kids, and we don't realize that that's our responsibility. And in a sense, we go back to the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11. It talks about how there'll be a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. And we experience that in our homes today.
So let me ask you a question. As a counselor, do you in some ways see the results on the negative side of things of what happens when God is, for all practical purposes, neglected in the household, in the home?
Absolutely, sure. God's word's very clear between right and wrong, between healthy and unhealthy, between what works and what doesn't work. And when we get started down a wrong path, doing things that are unhealthy or that are ungodly, there are certainly consequences to that. Sometimes what I see in my counseling office is the consequences of an individual's own decisions. Sometimes it's the consequences of decisions that other people have made that have impacted that person. But certainly God's word is what offers us the solutions to those problems. And if we will soak in that and soak our family in that and teach our children, in a sense, to cut their own steak, we'll be amazed at how we end up avoiding a lot of the problems that so many people get stuck in because we see clearly through the lens of Scripture.
Now, we know, of course, there's many broken homes, and so you have situations where the mother is the de facto head of the household. That's just the reality she's thrust into. But if she wants to lead her children in a godly way, all of the principles that we're espousing in this discussion, many of them apply, of course.
Absolutely. I guess my premise for the book, one of the premises for the book, is that if fathers would lead well, it would be a whole lot easier for the moms. In cases where there's not a father in the home, that mom has the responsibility to be the spiritual leader as well and to take up the reins and ensure that her children are raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And everything that I write in this book in that regard applies to single mom households as well.
Okay, let's go ahead and have you wax eloquent. Why don't you give us maybe, say, three concrete steps for the new year that a godly, concerned father can take to try and lead the family, even if hitherto they've done virtually nothing as far as being, showing spiritual leadership in the home?
Absolutely. Okay, every child likes to have books read to him or her. I mean, we sit down with our kids when they're little and tiny things, and they read picture books with us, and where do we start? We start right in the front on page one. So grab your Bible. That's the Bible they see you carry to church on Sunday. That's the Bible they see you read from in your quiet time when you're having that, however frequent or infrequent that might be. But grab your Bible and open it up to page one and just start reading. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Close your Bible and look at your kids and say, if that's true, let's keep reading. If that's not true, let's stop right here. And that'll start a very interesting conversation. And I guarantee that if you just pick it up and read the next chapter, and then read the next chapter, and then read the next chapter, that you'll have some very interesting conversations around your table. I never once did any kind of preparation work. I never went to seminary. I don't have a Bible degree. I'm just a dad. And I picked up my Bible, and I read it with my kids starting at page one. It took about 4.5 years, 4 or 5 nights a week, and you'll get through it from cover to cover. And I guarantee that you'll cover every topic that your kids will face in life sitting at your dinner table or sitting around the couch afterwards or wherever it fits into your schedule. But I guess step one is grab it and just start reading right in the beginning and trust that God will work in those ways. Number two, know that you're not going to have all the answers. That's okay. Your kids don't expect you to. They just want you to be real. And when you don't have all the answers, it makes it okay for them to not have all the answers. But you can show them where to go and find them, and you can go dig for the answers together. And that's a good thing because that teaches your kids that God's Word is the place that we go for answers. And I guess the number three would be grow a passion in your own life for investing in your children for eternity. We as fathers, we as parents are in a better position than anybody else to impact our kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the things that are important to us will become important to our kids. And grow that passion in your life and trust that God will work out all the other details of how it unfolds. You'll be amazed.
Hmm. Now, you said that you didn't go to Bible seminary or whatever, but you have a doctorate before your name. What's that all about? Family counseling?
I have a PhD in family therapy, yes.
Okay, so, and it's kind of separated from the Word of God, or how does that work?
Well, my degree in family therapy is from Nova University. It's a secular university, and I was actually going through graduate school at the time that I was reading through God's Word, and so with my kids. So I was starting on that process, and that's just part of the journey.
You don't
have to be a professional to do this well. You just got to be a dad.
Tell us how you got saved, if that's relevant.
Sure. I came to know the Lord when I was 13 at a Christian boys camp in North Carolina. And that's the same time that I saw my parents come to Christ and my brother. And I saw God working in my home in some pretty profound ways. And I didn't know that this was just a part of real life. I didn't grow up in that regard, my early years in a Christian home. And so I was trying to figure some of this out as best as I could. And, you know, my dad was, he tried, but I didn't make it very easy on him as a teenager. But just the fact that he tried made it easier for me, which made it easier for my kids. My kids all came to Christ in, 4 or 5 years old. And they grew up just knowing that this is a normal part of life. And so you see the generational pattern starting to change, again, just through obedience to doing what God says is important to do.
How important are dads? I mean, we grew up where with the feminist movement and so forth, there were statements going around like, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle and so forth. And, in some cases, there are whole cultures where dad has been virtually chased out of the house. How important is the father?
Well, I don't think, and again, this is not to denigrate moms, but I don't think that there is anyone in a household whose individual spiritual piety is of as much importance as a father. I think as fathers, we set the atmosphere for our homes by how we love our wives as Christ loved the church. We set the tone of our dinner table as we sit down and we listen to people and what's on their hearts and what happened in their day. And we set the expectations as we have standards for right and wrong, and we share these come from the Bible. And as our kids see what we do in our Bible, in our praying, they will have a model before them. So I think that fathers are really key in this process. And unfortunately, That's difficult because when dads don't know how to do something, when men don't know how to do something, they generally will not ask. Now, a mom or a wife, if she doesn't know how to do something, they'll get together with their lady friends and they'll figure it out. And so our families benefit from that, but from guys being silent in their lack of understanding, kids suffer from that. Families suffer from that.
Recently, there have been some, controversial laws and so forth, places where they're basically trying to not allow, conversion therapy related to homosexuality to be allowed and be discussed. And I bring this up because I personally, for TV, Christian TV and radio, have done a lot of interviews with former homosexuals. And virtually every single one of them said that as a child, they did not relate well to the parent of the same sex. So if it's a lesbian, they did not get along well with their moms. If it was a homosexual male, it was the same with the father. What are your thoughts on that and those kinds of laws, which, by the way, I would think are, frankly, violating the First Amendment, or the free speech part of it. My goodness. But your thoughts.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a push across the country to pass laws like that at the city and the county and the state levels. And we're seeing that in Florida for sure. I would say that the more confident our kids grow up in our homes, the more solid the relationships that they experience in our homes, the more they experience the love and the grace and the mercy that we read about together in God's Word, the more confident and stable their lives will be for the future. Now, with that said, we can be perfect parents. Nobody is, but even if we were, our kids can still make foolish decisions, and I do understand that. But in terms of being able to influence our kids for Christ, for not just for this walk of on earth now, but for eternity, I think that happens, and you see it in Scripture, that happens in the home, that happens in the family. And as a Christian father, there's no higher calling than to lead your children to the feet of the cross and to introduce them to Jesus. I remember when each one of my children were born, and I brought them back and introduced them to my dad for the first time. And, there's just this moment of, Dad, this is my son. And little one, this is my dad. And when we have the privilege to do that spiritually, it changes not only the father, but it changes children's lives as well. And I think, it goes back to Malachi, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Turning
the hearts of the children to the fathers.
It's interesting you're bringing up the idea that, you could do all the right things and then, unfortunately, still have a prodigal child. It is interesting that in Luke 15, where we have the parable of the prodigal son, the father represented there is God. And, there's nothing imperfect at all about God, and yet there are people who rebel against him. So that's an interesting consideration.
Yeah, I think that God's word is very clear that we all walk a journey, and it's called sanctification, and he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's God's work. He delights in doing that in us, and he's not worried about that process. So we as parents need to just relax a little bit, take a deep breath, and realize that it's God working in our kids' lives. He's using us, for sure. But when things seem like they're not headed the way that we want, God is still sovereign right there. And we can rest on the promises of his word. You train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. And, when it talks about in Scripture, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Your word, Lord, I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I'm convinced that as we do those things, and we end up at the end of the book, toward the end, you read in 3 John chapter 4, there is no greater joy than to see my children are walking in the truth.
Hmm.
And
Amen.
That's the goal.
All right, and with that, we'll end. We will also refer back to the website for the book, which is riseupdad.com. The author, again, is Dr. Robert Otto. Dr. Otto, thanks so much for joining us on the program. Thank you.
Jerry, it's a pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
All right, you too. God bless. Bye-bye.